Money Control has been extensively covering all the news stories in the run-up to Budget 2020. We will continue to present the biggest and best stories before and after the budget with the help of top economists, experts and analysts. Stay tuned to moneycontrol.com or download the app now. Hello and welcome to Money Control. You're listening to In the News with me, Anvita Bansal. Today is Friday, January 24th, 2020. And I'll be bringing you all the latest updates from India and around the world. But before that, a small note on our Money Control app. The Money Control app gives readers content in English, Hindi and Gujarati. Do check out the language option on the app now. And now, coming back to our top stories for the day. George Soros pledges $1 billion to battle would-be and actual dictators. Adani Gas may face a penalty of Rs 400 crore, along with loss of license. SEBI may seek forensic audit in the Infosys whistleblower case. On our next story, we'll discuss UN court orders interim security to Rohingya Muslims. On a lighter note, Ratan Tata posted a photo of his younger self on Instagram. And boy, that picture went viral. He captioned it, "I was going to post this yesterday, but I was then told about throwbacks and how they occur on Thursdays. So here is a throwback from my days in Los Angeles, not long before I happily returned to India." The legendary industrialist and former chairman of Tata Sons sported a white t-shirt, and I'm sure he earned thousands of fans who not only drooled on it, but even commented that he'd give any Hollywood star a run for their money. George Soros pledges $1 billion to battle would-be and actual dictators. To discuss more on this, I have with me Money Control's Shraddha Sharma. Hi Shraddha. Shraddha, it's a very different kind of philanthropy. What exactly has he said?
That's right, Anvita. George Soros has actually pledged $1 billion towards a new university network project, which will actually battle, and I quote, "the erosion of civil society in a world increasingly ruled by would-be and actual dictators and beset by climate change," unquote. So he was speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos on January 23rd, that is yesterday, and the US-based financier and philanthropist added that humanity was at a turning point. And in the coming years, it will determine the fate of the rulers. And he specifically named three of them, US President Donald Trump, Chinese President Xi Jinping, and Narendra Modi. He basically said that the idea of Open Society University Network, or OSUN, is the most important project of his life, and he basically wants to create an international platform that will teach and research for existing universities all over the world, and they'll be able to join this network. And I quote him that to demonstrate our commitment to OSUN, we are contributing $1 billion to it, and places in need of high quality education and in serving neglected populations. So he basically meant refugees and prisoners and other displaced people, if you talk about Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar. And he added all that in his speech, and he said that the survival of open universities is endangered, and we face even greater crisis of climate change. So he was disappointed with many things, and he expressed grief that the world's strongest powers, the US, the China, and Russia, which is under Putin, and I quote him, say that in the hands of the would-be or actual dictators and the ranks of authoritarian rulers continued to grow. So it was really him saying that this is one of the most frightening setbacks to the world, and he actually accused the Indian Prime Minister Modi of creating a Hindu nationalist state. He slammed Trump as well. And he also spoke about Facebook, how Facebook is conspiring to re-elect Mr. Trump in power again in the coming elections, and like they did it in the previous elections. And this is a report by Bloomberg, and this is what he said. And he said that the United States may come soon, have come too soon for the US leader as he faces re-election later this year. And Trump has managed to overheat an already buoyant economy, and an overheated economy can't keep at the boiling point for too long. So he made a there was alarm in his voice, and he spoke about China, saying that Communist Party tradition by concentrating power around himself, talking about the Chinese leader, the economy is losing its flexibility that it previously had. So he basically called Xi Jinping a dictator who has gained sufficient power. And, you know, because of that power, the economy is losing on the whole. And he has also said that, and I quote, once lost, personal autonomy will be difficult to recover. Therefore, an open society would have no place in such a world.
Right. One last question, Shraddha. Since you mentioned India, what has he commented on that regard?
So, basically, he has criticized Kashmir restrictions by the Modi government and broadside against global nationalism that he was talking about, and all the examples of the countries that he was taking. He has said, and I quote, "The biggest and the most frightening setback occurred in India, where a democratically elected Narendra Modi is creating a Hindu nationalist state, imposing punitive measures in Kashmir, a semi-autonomous Muslim region, and threatening to deprive millions of Muslims of their citizenship," unquote. He also mentioned that nationalism, far from being reversed, made further headway, you know, globally. So this is what he has said. And this is what CNBC has covered in its report. So the economic summit is widely covered, and we have a lot of media reports coming in from the event that is currently being held in Switzerland.
Adani Gas may face a penalty of Rs 400 crore along with loss of license. To discuss more on this, I have with me Money Control's Jerome Anthony. Hi, Jerome. Thank you for joining in.
Thanks, Anvita. It's good to be here. First up, Anvita, let me tell you that the Petroleum and Natural Gas Regulatory Board has issued a show cause notice to Adani Gas for not disclosing some crucial information. Now, I'll get to that in a bit, but let me tell you that CNBC Awaz's Yatin Mota, who has seen this, and I spoke to him, he mentioned that the Petroleum and Natural Gas Regulatory Board has asked Adani to respond to its notice. So the show cause notice said that Adani Gas bid for gas projects using net worth calculations of Adani Enterprises without disclosing the scheme of arrangement between the two companies. Adani Gas was later demerged as part of a restructuring between Adani Enterprises, its holding company. However, the PNGRB believes that this is a violation of laws, as Adani Gas's shareholding changes and restructuring were in violation of CGD regulations. So the show cause notice seeks to cancel licenses of Adani Gas, along with levying a penalty of approximately 396 crores. An Adani spokesperson who, wrote to Money Control said that, and I quote, "We are fully compliant and have transparently represented facts in totality, adhering to norms of compliance and disclosure. All concerned authorities were intimated about the proceedings pertaining to reorganization of Adani Gas. We have duly responded to PNGRB with all required information to close the matter," unquote. So one of the sources also added that the regulator is yet to approve Adani Gas's deal to sell 37.4% stake to Total SA, another company, since the regulations do not allow shareholding of the current promoters to dip below 51%.
SEBI may seek forensic audit in the Infosys whistleblower case.
That's correct, Anvita. SEBI is likely to seek forensic audit of Infosys books amid whistleblower allegations that had mentioned that top Infosys executives were involved in financial irregularities. Now, the Securities and Exchange Board of India's decision comes after Infosys' internal audit on January 10th concluded that the charges made by the whistleblowers were without merit. The findings of the internal audit were shared with the regulator and... Now, sources have said that SEBI is calling for the forensic audit is because it wants to have a thorough understanding of, what the allegations were about. And especially given that, the internal audit found no merit. Now, I'll give you some background also here. So, somewhere in October last year, there were allegations or rather, a whistleblower in a letter had written that... The chief executive Salil Parekh and the company's chief financial officer indulged in unethical practices to boost revenue and profits. The whistleblower had also sent the complaint to the US Securities and Exchange Commission. So it remains to be seen whether or not SEBI is going to officially conduct a forensic audit. But as of now, as we speak, Infosys has denied that it has received any information from SEBI or any communication from SEBI regarding a forensic audit or whether SEBI will probe further into the matter.
UN court orders interim security to Rohingya Muslims. To discuss more on this, I have with me Money Control's Atharva Pandit.
So yes, Anvita, the International Court of Justice, like you mentioned, has ruled that Myanmar must take effective measures to protect its Rohingya Muslims. And this also includes protecting of the evidence that is related to allegations of genocide. So it is important to understand at this point that the directions that the ICJ has given are provisional measures, and these are, until the ICJ can, decide if Myanmar has actually been committing the alleged genocide, which is ongoing right now against the Rohingya Muslims. And of course, like it happens with a lot of judgments and a lot of cases with regards to the ICJ, it might take a lot of years, several years, for ICJ to come to a conclusion regarding this particular case. We can look at the history of this case a little bit. I mean, in November in 2019, the Republic of Gambia had actually moved ICJ against Myanmar over the, alleged violations of the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. Myanmar had responded, saying that the ICJ should ideally remove the case from its list because the Republic of Gambia does not have jurisdiction of the court. Because Myanmar had said the country's argument was that the proceedings were not instituted, in fact, by Gambia, but they had been instituted on behalf of someone, namely the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. So that was Myanmar's argument against Republic of Gambia's move to, go to ICJ regarding this whole issue. Now, what has happened, like I mentioned, is that ICJ has directed Myanmar to preserve evidence which is related to the allegations of genocide. But again, like I mentioned, these are provisional measures. And on its part, Myanmar has denied that it's like it has been doing for the past couple of years, it has denied that its military or the paramilitary has participated in the genocide of Rohingya Muslims. And I mean, it's not going to change its position on that front, obviously. However, there have been video evidences and there have been videos of Myanmar military indulging in excesses against the Rohingya Muslims. And, that is where the allegations took root. So it is to be seen what happens next. But like I said, the eventual ruling itself might take several years to come.
Well, with that, it's a wrap on this edition of In the News. In case if you have any queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us on mcpodcast@mw18.com. Until then, this is your host Anvita signing off. For more news, views and updates, please stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thank you so much for listening and have a great weekend.